Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Nun Hei Maseches Bava Kamma. It is the 1446th daf in Shas. Nun Hei Amud Aleph is going to be mostly Agadita. On yesterday's daf, the Gemara had discussed the formulation of Shvisas Behemto on Shabbos, Sharcha V'Chamorecha, and the drashos related to the Aseres Hadibros. So on today's daf, we're going to start with a question that Rabbi Chanina ben Agil asked Rabbi Chia bar Abba about the Aseres Hadibros, that in one place it says Tov by Kibud Avaim, L'man Yitav Lach, and in another place, in Shemos, it does not say the word Tov, and why is that? That's going to get the Gemara into Agadita in regards to the word Tov in general. And then the Gemara is going to go back to the conclusion of the Mishnah Nun Dalet Amud Beis that said that often when we talk about Shar, Echad Shar v'Echad Kol Behema, we're talking about all animals as well, not just a Shar. And the Gemara then will discuss the halachos of Klayim, and that will conclude Perek Shar Shenagach Es HaPara. Then we will begin the important Perek Hakonis Son Ladir. The Perek deals with someone who closes the barn and his requirement of how to close the barn door to make sure that his animal doesn't go and do hezek. Perek HaKonis is a very, very important perek dealing with many of the halachos of Shmira. So let's Be'ezer Hashem begin. Nun Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Shol Rabbi Chanina ben Agil es Rabbi Chia bar Abba. Min pnei ma b'dibras harishonis loy nemar behem toiv. U b'dibras achronis nemar behem toiv. It says in Sefer Devarim, L'man Yitav Lach, but when it has the pasuk Kabbides Avicha Asimecha in Shmois, in Yisrael, there it doesn't say Tov. Amaloi Acheta Shuluni Lamanem Abem Tov. You're asking me a complicated question. Why does in one place say Tov? Why one place it doesn't say Tov? Shalani, ask me a better question. Im Nemar Abem Tov Im Lav. Shein Yodea Im Nemar Abem Tov Im Lav. So Rabbi Chia bar Abba responded, I don't even know the psukim very well to be able to know whether it says Tov or not. So certainly I won't be able to answer the second question of why, if I don't even know the what. So Klech go Eitzel Rabbi Tanchim ben Charnilo'i. Shei Rogel Eitzel Rabbi Shua ben Levi Shei Baki Ba'agada. I suggest that you go to Rabbi Shua, to a Talmud of Rabbi Shua ben Levi who worked on Agada and knew the psukim well, both in terms of what it says as well as the drush. Tosfos in Bava Basra and Kufi Gimel Amud Aleph points out that it would seem from our Gemara that not all Tanoim were bekiyim in psukim. Or this was Rabbi Chia bar Abba as pushing it off modestly, saying it's not even so clear to me the psukim to be able to darshan that I'm not that madrega. So he sends him to Rabbi Tanchum bar Chinilai Ozlagabe Amalei Mimenu Lo Shemati. About your question, I didn't hear a direct answer. Elkach Amalei Shmuel bar Nochem Ochi Imoi Sherev Acha Rabbi Chanina. But this is what Shmuel, the brother of the mother of Rav Acha Reb Chanina, Va'amilan, some say Avi Imoy, the grandfather of Rav Achi Reb Chanina, Holvi Sofen Lihis Daber. Since at the end of the day, the Aseres Hadibros Moshe Rabbeinu was going to break, so then in such a case, they didn't want to write the word Toiv. Says the Gemara, why not? V'chi Sofen Lihis Daber might have it. What's so bad about writing the word Tov, it's going to be broken? Amravashi chas v'shalom paska Tov im Yisrael. Because we don't want Tov to end in Klal Yisrael. In one of our last Temin Chasidus, we spoke about the idea that Tov and Bracha is something that one could generate. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to generate in this world. And therefore, what we do with the word Tov, whether we break it or we extend it, is absolutely critical. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want that when Moshe Rabbeinu would decide on his own to break the Luchos, the source of what, of this week's parsha for Pinchas initiating on his own to kill Zimri, that initiation HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to have a negative consequence of Pascha Tov Mi'Yisrael. Amar Bishua, Haraya Tes B'Chalomo. Someone sees the letter Tes in his dream Simon Yafala. It's a good sign for him. My time, what's the reason? Ilay Mishum Nechsev Tov. If you're going to say because tes always has a connotation of good things, Ema, but the Pasuk Yishayo describes Holocaust, v'tata sovim mitatei hashmad, that I will sweep them away with, in modern Hebrew, matata is a broom. So I'll sweep them away with shmad. So we see that tes is not a good thing. So what could you answer? Chates karmirim. Maybe two tests are bad. One test is good. Ema tumasa b'shileha. We just started the 3 weeks. We're going to read shortly in Eicha, hopefully Mashiach will come before then, that the tumma was on the hem of Yerushalayim. So we see tumma is with one test. Says Gemara, test beis kamrinan. I'm talking about test beis. Test beis, that's a good word, that's a good thing to see in one's dream because of the word tov. Asks the Gemara, Ema tovu ba'aretz she'areha, but in Echad also describes the foundations of the city sinking into the ground because of the destruction of Yerushalayim. Ela, hayelu pasuk ba'yakasa l'tov etchila shebebereishis v'yara l'kim esa'ar like sivtes. The first few psukim until pasuk dal until vayara kemisar doesn't say the letter tes. What's the first appearance of the word tes? For the word taiv. So tes is a good word to see in one's dream. Another teaching about what one sees in one's dream, the first wide line in Hey, Amar Alf, Amar Bishua ben Levi. Bishua ben Levi also taught, Haraya hesped bechalam. If he sees the letters hesped in his dream, chasal mishamayim upaduhu, means that he was supposed to have a hesped on him. However, he was redeemed in Shemayim v'hanimi l'bechsava, but this is only if he sees it written. But if he hears it, then that isn't necessarily that siman tov that Rabbi Shua ben Levi described. The Gemara now goes back to the Mishnah that told us v'chein chayev oiv k'yotze behen, that these halachas that we said that applies to a shor and all other animals, for example, Kefel, Ashavas Aveda, the mitzvah of Prika, the Isra of Chasima, the mitzvah, the Isra of Klayim, the mitzvah of your animal resting on Shabbos, applies also not only to Behemos, but Chayiva Of. Amar Ish Lakish Kan Shana Rebbe. It was at this place, when Rebbe was learning this Mishnah, that he added the following statement that appears in a Tosefta. Tarnigol v'tavas ufasioni klaim zebeze, that when it comes to a rooster and other types of birds, so they are klaim with each other. Pisioni, Rashi tells us, a type of slav. Slav is, we know, a type of pigeon. Tavas, Rashi calls pavin belaz. That's not as clear what that bird is, but all these birds are klaim. You're not allowed to mate them with each other. Says the Gemara, Pshita, I thought that was obvious. Amar b'chiba m'shmei d'rabo b'hadi hadadi. Mao d'seima min chadu. Kamash malan. I thought that they're considered one min and not klaim because ravu b'hadadi, they grow up with each other. Kamash malan, that they're not. The Gemara continues with more halachos in regards to klaim. Amar shmuel. Avez. That's a type of duck. Va'avez abor, and a wild duck, they're also klaim zebezeh, they're klaim with each other. Maskifla rava barav chan, and my time, why do you say that they're klaim with each other? Ilem mishum dahai orich kue, v'hai zuter kue. If you're going to say that one's nose is long and the other's is short, is that enough to make it klaim? Elem me'ata gamla parsa v'gamla teya. Two different types of camels. A camel that's a Persian camel, and Taya means to wander, which was an Arabian camel. In those countries, those people and animals wander, so then they should also be considered klayim with each other. V'hai katin keya, because they're different. One, the neck is thin, and the other is large. First it says, Dahai olam katea. This one's neck is wide, and this one's neck is thin. Hachinami dav klaim zebezeh. Are you going to say for that reason they're considered klaim? Elam arabai, no. That's not the reason why a wild duck and a not a domestic duck are klayim amar baye, because ze beitzim mechutz ve ze beitzim mibifnim. The testicles actually appear in different places. One, the testicle is on the outside, and the other one is on the inside. Rashi says the wild one, avaz habor, is on the outside, and the domestic one's on the inside. Rav Papa amar. Rav Papa gives another explanation, another answer of why they're two separate minim. Ha teuna chada biyasa b'shichla. The feminine wild boar only ovulates one egg at a time. Vahai, that's the wild one. Vaha teuna kam b'shichla. While the other one, the yishuv, carries a few at once, and that's a siman, that a sign that they're of klayim. They're totally different species. Amar v'yirmiya, amar reish lakish, amar biya shnei minim shebayam loke. If you mate two different species that are both from the sea, if they're different species, it's still klayim that gets malchus. I'm my time, amar avada barava mishmei du'ula asal mineo mineo mi yabosha. We learn a gzereshava in terms of where the pasuk describes in Bereishis the two different minim. On the one hand, the pasuk says, "Vayivra lekim es hataninim agdol es kol nefesh achayor ameses asher shartzu amayim liminehem." It says liminehem, and then the pasuk also says, "Ve'es kol of kanaf liminehu." So when it comes to minim yabasha, the term minim species is used, as well as the term that's used for those which are on the land. And since we know that kol of knaf lemineu, there's klayim, as we learned in our Mishnah, the same applies. Mineu also applies to sea. The fact that they both live on the sea doesn't make them one species. By Rachva. Rachva asked the following shayla. Hamanig b'iza, if someone leads a goat, vishi buta, and he ties it together, a fish in the water. So he's using power of leading a yoke, a plow, by one animal that's on the ground, a goat, and with a fish. Is that considered klayim? A fascinating question. Mahu, is that being manhig b'klayim? Mi amrina kimin de'iza lo nachas b'yam. Do we say on the one hand that since the goat cannot go into the sea, v'shivuta lo salak liyabasha lo klum of it, it's not considered as if he did klayim. Odil mahashtami is commanding, but now he's pushing them both together, so that would be considered klayim. Maske lo Ravina. Ravina asked the following question. El me'ata chiber chita v'sara b'yadoi v'zara chita bar z'sara b'chutz al-aretz. If a person brought together two different seeds, one of wheat and the other of barley, which of course to plant together would be klayim, but one you plant in Eretz Yisrael and the other in Chutz La'aretz, would that be considered klayim? Of course not. Rashi adds another variable, that klayim is only usur in Chutz La'aretz. It's a mitzvah tuli ba'aretz. So there is another variable over here that would say that you should not be chayiv. Maybe the Gemara is not aware of that in the question, because that's what the Gemara's distinction between the two is. Amri hachi ashta hasam, eretz makom chiyuva, chutz la'aretz lo makom chiyuva. There is another reason there that's not going to be considered klayim. Maybe they're considered far apart, but as long as you did it together, you planted it together, then at the same time, you would be chayiv. However, hachi idvi idi chiyuvahu, here there's a prohibition with both the fish and the goat to be manig b'klayim. There's an issur of mating them together, as well as an issur of having them work together. So therefore, the Gemara leaves off as a question, a fascinating question that concludes our parak. Hadron alach shor shenagach es hapara. We now begin the new Mishnah on the new da amud on unheim beis. Hakoni sol nadir. Someone brings his sheep into a corral, v'nol b'fanel karoy, and he locks it properly. Rashi says, my havelei lemevad, what more could he have done? V'yotzev ezika, and then it went out damaged. My havelei lemevad, what could he have done? Potter, he's going to be potter. Lo na'al b'fanel karoy, but if he doesn't lock in front of it appropriately, v'yotzev ezika, it goes out and does damage, chayiv. Then in such a case, he's going to be chayiv, because he should have watched it better. Nifritza b'layla, if it broke out at night, or she'er partzua, list him, or robbers broke it out, v'yotzev ezika, potter. Then he's potter because he watched it appropriately. However, Hotziu list him chayav. The robbers, though, when they took it out, they're going to be chayav for the damages. What if he didn't watch it properly because hinicha bechama, he left it in the sun? Oshemasra lecherishot vekatan. If the animal is left in the sun, so he's going to do everything he can to try to get out. Or he gave it over to cherishot vekatan v'yatzav azika. He's going to be chayv. Even if he locked the door appropriately, the animal is going to use all of his energy to get out. Masra leroa, if he gave it over to a shepherd, nichnas haroa tachtav, then the shepherd now becomes chayiv in the animal's hezek. Nafla legina, if one's animal fell into a garden, venenis, and he has ana, mishalemes lefima shenenis. He pays according to that which the owner pays, how much he benefited from it, how much food he no longer has to pay. The reason why we assess it for Mishalemes Mashanenis is based on a Gemara that we had earlier. The Gemara told us on Daf Chaf Amid Aleph, based on a Mishnah on Yutes Amid Beis, that when it comes to Shein, when the animal eats, the owner has to pay how much he gained from what he would have fed the animal, and not, as Rashi emphasized by us, Mashahezik. That's what comes to when it comes to Shein. Yarda Kedarki Vezika. But if it goes into the field in a normal manner, it didn't fall in, but it goes in and it damages, mishalemes mashezeka. Then he pays that which he damaged. The difference between the two cases is the first case, the animal fell into the garden. The owner was an ones. However, he still has to pay mashenenes. In contrast, when the animal walked in as a regular mazik, so then it's not simply the hanah of shein, then he has to pay for the hezek. Ketzah mishalem is mash hezekah. When he's chayav to pay for hezek, how do you assess that? Shaman beisa bosasada kamaisi yafa kami yafa. You assess how much a beisa of that field was worth prior to the hezek versus after. Shimon oimer achla peres gemurim mishalem is peres gemurim imsa sasayim. Rabbi Shimon disagrees in terms of the assessment. If the animal already ate entirely peros gemurim, entirely ripe fruits, so then in such a case, there's no connection between the fruits and the field, and therefore you assess based on the fruits how much damage there was. In other words, what Rabbi Shimon is saying, that the Tanakhama only makes sense that you assess the land if the fruits that were damaged are still connected to the land. But if the fruits are already entirely ripe, so then you assess the damage based on the ripe fruits. Analyzes the Gemara. Tan Rabban, Ezo Karoi Ve'ezo Shelo Karoi. What's considered that the barn was watched in an appropriate way, and what's considered not appropriate? Says the Gemara, Del Shechol Am Baruch Mitzui Ezo Karoi. If he puts up a door that could stand against the normal wind, then it's karoi. And then in such a case, if the animal for whatever reason goes out and does damage, he's potter. Sheni achalam baruch mitzui zo shelo karoi, and the one is going to be chayiv, the owner. Amar amani bar patish mantana muad desagileish b'shmir p'chus. So we learned earlier on Memhei that there's an interesting shita of Rabbi Yehuda who holds that when it comes to muad, you won't be chayiv for tashlum emuad if you did a shmir p'chusa, a most basic watching. This not kashu balad b'maser v'nal fan k'rav yatz v'hezik echotam echamu chayiv div Rabbi Meir. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Imer tam chayiv muad patur. Rabbi Meir says that you're equally chayiv for tam muad, while Rabbi Yehuda says by muad you're patur, because of an interesting drasha, as Rabbi Yehuda explains on Mem Heim, a base that the Gemara alludes to over here. Shinemar v'lo yishmenu balav v'shamerhu. The only time you're chayiv is if you didn't watch it. Now, this guy was basically watched. So by tam, it doesn't say v'lo yishmenu balav. This pasuk is mentioned by mu'ud. So here was a basic watching was done, and therefore you're not chayiv. Rabbi Eliezer, the Mishnah told us on Mem Heim, a base, that you're always chayiv according to Rabbi Eliezer, because the only time it's considered watched, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is if you actually kill it. Hence, he didn't do a shmira if he didn't kill it. So what do you see? Our Mishnah seems to be going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because our Mishnah says, as long as you do a shmira p'chusa, you're going to be potter. Says Gemara, filtem Rabbi Meir. No, even Rabbi Meir could agree. And he would say that a Shmir Pchusa would be enough, because Shani Shein V'Regel Da Torah Miyata B'Shmirasan. When it comes to Shein V'Regel, there, the Torah does not require a higher level of Shmir. What's the proof of that? Amar Abelazar, Ramila Masnisatana, Arba Dvarim Hatar Miyata B'Shmirasan. The Torah tells you don't have to have a high level of Shmir. Ve'elu Hein, Bar Ve'esh Shein V'Regel. Bar D'Chsiv Kiftach Ish Bar O Kiyichri Ish Bar V'Loi Chasenu. Haki So Pater. Number one, when it comes to Bar, as long as you do any type of minimal covering, that's enough. If you set a fire, you have to pay. The only time you're chayiv is if you consider as if you lit it itself. What does that mean? That you have to have been posheya, Rashi explains. So therefore, these two, it's enough to do a shmir p'chus, and then you're going to be potu, because the Torah is only mechayiv you if you do a pshia. Shein d'chsev bir b'steyacher, when it comes to shein, that your animal goes and pastures in another place. Ad ovi kein uvir. But here it's not simply that it pastured on its own. It sounds like you sent it. Ubir, you sent it to go b'stei acher. So that's a pshia. If you do anything else, you're going to be potel. Regel d'chsev shilach, that you sent your animal to go and to jump around, to run around. You're chayiv if it stampedes. Ad ovi kein v'shilach. V'tayim v'shilach zeh regel. So in this case, as long as you did a shmir p'chusa, it's going to be enough. So even though the halacha is that according to Rebbe Meir, you need to do more than a shmir p'chusa for a tam and a mu'ah, that's only in regards to Karen, but it does not apply to the four things of bar esh, shein, v'regel. V'chein u'am reshachi regel ashar b'chamar. U'bi'er zu'a shein. And when we're talking about shein, then we're talking about the pasuk of u'bi'er. V'chein u'am reshachi yivar agol atuma. That's we learned in our earlier, in our Masechta Daf Beis Amud Beis, that the word yivar, the Gemara shows, could be referred to the tooth of an animal, because it eats the food entirely. And that, in contrast to, let's say, regal, where it stampedes and just breaks the fruit or vegetable or vegetation that's sitting over there, when it comes to eating, it destroys it entirely. Kashivar agal atumo, as described in the pasuk in Melachim. So, what we see from here is that vier is shein, and shein requires only a shmir p'chusa. Tamid avid kein v'shilach v'bir. Halo avid lo. But if he didn't do the active pshia, then he would not be chayiv, and that's why, even according to Rabbi Meir, you would be potur if you did a shmir p'chusa, even though by Karen, Rabbi Meir is more machmir. Amar Rabba, masnisa nami deka. It fits well into the Mishnah, diktani, tzayin. Why did the Mishnah say specifically tzayin? Michti b'shar ka'askinan. Up until now, we've been talking about shar. Why all of a sudden that the sixth perek revert and talk about a tzayin? Must be the following. Because the Torah is talking about a different level of shmira. Like we learned, a shmira b'chusa would be acceptable. Because when we're talking about the hezek of shein v'regel, we're generally talking not about the horn of the animal doing damage, but what a sheep generally does, and that is bad damage to its teeth and its feet. And shein v'regel are considered muadim. And then the halacha is that a shmir p'chusa is going to be enough. However, when it comes to shar muad, so then it requires a shmira mu'ula. So that would fit beautifully with the shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda does not require a shmira mu'ula when it comes to muad. However, we chose to switch to tzon because there the halacha is that you require only a shmira p'chusa. In contrast to Karen, according to Rabbi Meir, you need a shmura mu'ula both for tam and for mu'at. We're going to stop our daf over here. Today's daf, we had discussed the Aseres Hadibros after the Gemara earlier had discussed the Aseres Hadibros in terms of its description of behema by Shabbos. And now we discussed a difference between the Aseres Hadibros that have the words L'man Yitav Lach and a fantastic Musar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want Moshe Rabbeinu to break the words Tov, and the first Aseres Hadibros did not have the word Tov, and Tov is a beautiful word, and that there are times if you see in a chalom that it is a positive thing. The Gemara pointed out that the iser of klayim, of two different types of klayim of leading two animals together, as well as klayim of mating two animals together, apply also with different types of birds. And the Gemara concluded the parak with a fascinating shaila: what happens if you did klayim by leading a fish and a goat together, that they're leading, pulling a plow, for example, together? Would that be an iser of klayim, that one is on the ground and one is on the earth? Along the way, we learned that there's klayim as well within different types of fish, as well as in different types of birds. We had learned in Perek Hakones that it's enough to have a shmira p'chusa. The way the Gemara here describes it is to have a door that guards the animal, that the door would stand against a ruach mitzuya. So the Mishnah tells us in the famous words that many children learn, Hakone sel nadir v'nal b'fanei karoi v'yatzav ezeka, the halach is that's going to be potter. The Gemara concludes that the Mishnah is going according to Rebbe Meir, who's of the opinion that both Tam and Muad, you're going to be chayiv unless you do a shmira me'ula. But our Mishnah emphasized tzon to tell us that we're talking about a different type of halacha, and this is the halacha of shein v'regel, that the Gemara tells us there are four things that the Torah says that a basic shmi would be acceptable, and that is bar esh, shein, v'regel, and the Gemara gives us the sources, and according to Rebbe Meir, this stands in contrast to Shar, where both Shar Tam and Shar Muad require a Shmira Me'ula. Rebbe Yehuda, we learned, disagreed on Daf Memhei and says Shar Muad only requires a Shmira Pchusa, but our Mishnah will follow Rebbe Meir, who holds that in general Shar requires a Shmira Me'ula, but our Mishnah is talking about Shein V'Regel and Son, which only requires a Shmira Pchusa, which is, according to our Sugya, a Deles Shiachol Lamod B'Ruach Mitzuya. This Beis Dar Hashem concludes Daf Nun Hei in Maseches Bava Kamma.